Oh, you know what that music means. It's time to head to the Smokies. I've been to Smokies games with Vince. Vince Ferrara, at Vince Sports on Twitter. WNML, the sports animal there in Knoxville. He now joins us. Vinny, how you doing?
Smoky Mountain snow today. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
bad is it?
It stopped snowing and the main roads are, are clear. They're fine. Just those side roads, parking lots, you step on the ice, going to your car, all that kind of stuff. But a lot of people have it worse, so it's fine. Headed into work to do the afternoon show today now, so it's been clear sailing.
So the ice on the roads, is there ice amongst the fan base about Rick Barnes and the performance in Lexington at Rupp Arena? Because that looked like they were dealing with some ice there too. It definitely wasn't ice in their veins. That was just a lot of cold shooting and turnovers, and Kentucky was red hot.
Well, that line tells me what a professional you are, because I don't even think you probably prepared that. That just kind of happened naturally as a pro that you are. So,
Yes, because you know this show is scripted if you listen. Boy, if this show is scripted, holy moly, who writes it? Woo. That was bad. That was bad, wasn't it? I mean, I'll leave my commentary. I'll tell you what I said to Chase, because Chase was doing the game on the board, filling in on Saturday during the Preds game while that game was taking place. And I'll tell you what I said about Rick Barnes, but go ahead and give us your thoughts on the game.
Well, what's crazy is Tennessee shot a much better percentage in the game from three and from the floor than we've seen from them in quite a while. 53% from the floor, 48% from three. They made as many threes as Kentucky. And, Kentucky shot 62% from three. But for a team like Kentucky to shoot 68% from the floor, and it was in the 70s late in the game, which is just insanity. 61% from three, 95% from the free throw line, only missed one free throw and going to the line 21 times. Everything was working for them. So when they play that way, they're beating anybody. So it wasn't that the game was in doubt based on how Tennessee played. It's that it got to the embarrassing level by getting housed like that and giving up 107 points when you are the number two defensive efficiency team in the country and really good in a lot of other defensive stats. And then another thing that's alarming about this team is they don't seem to often have in-game answers. If the three isn't working, what's another fix to that? They had constant blowbys by their guards, and I said before the game, one of the two keys, perimeter defense and post play opposite Oscar Tshiebwe, and both of those were a thumbs down. So they just didn't have an adjustment within the game, and they're just not a very tough basketball team right now, and that's something that the players are talking about, Rick Barnes just talked about. And when you start to critique this team, it's almost like it has to start there before they can start to address some of their roster and schematic deficiencies that they have. Unless they fix the toughness aspect and show some urgency and some fight, then the other stuff won't end up being much of a factor.
I said to Chase off the air when we were just talking about the game when it went final, it's starting to feel, and you could push back on this. I don't know. You're much closer to the situation. This is just, my perspective from here in Nashville. It's starting to feel like Rick Barnes is the Butch Jones of basketball. Like, we're not talking about their lack of talent every year. He's getting the players in there. It just seems like he's not developing these players. He doesn't know what to do with these players. I think I brought this up last week. It's like, how many more times are we going to talk about their inept offense whenever he's getting the job done on the recruiting trail? Like, why can't they score? Okay, now we're talking about a team that's supposed to be really good defensively. They've always been good defensively. Defensively responsible. That's their strength. Okay, fine. You can't score, but you can shut people down. Now they, as you just said, they gave up 107. Kentucky was shooting 70-plus percent from the field for most of the game. You turn the ball over 20 times. I don't know. To me, it's not like you're looking at the roster every year going, gosh, you know, what are they doing on the recruit? You know, what are these are great, like, walk-on stories, but, you know, or guys that nobody's really ever heard of. No, he's getting in tremendous talent, but I just kind of feel like he doesn't know what to do with it. Is it fair or unfair?
Well, I wouldn't use the but yes, fair to criticize. We haven't seen the development of this year's roster like we have in years past. But I wouldn't use Butch Jones, because there is a regular track record of players improving. We didn't see it last year. We have not seen it this year. There are a couple of exceptions. Santiago Vescovi is much better. Uros Plavšić has improved, but not a difference maker or program changer, but a couple of guys have gotten better. But overall, you have to go back to Schofield and Williams to really see that big-time improvement. You thought a couple of years ago you were getting that from Fulkerson, but he'll spike and then not be able to accomplish anything like happened in that Kentucky game. So, you know, Butch Jones, there wasn't as much of that. I think their biggest similarity is that they haven't really put ownership and responsibility on themselves and say, I need to do better. The exception is that Barnes actually did that to many of our note in the post game after that loss to Kentucky, where he said, I have to do better. You know, as far as the defense, he said, that's on me. He said they've got to somehow, some way, change the vibe of this team. I mean, that's a pretty significant thing to say about a ranked team that's still 14 in Ken Pom's rankings. Not that I give full stock in that, but I just think that this team, the players that they bring in, they try to fit into what they want to do with their motion offense, defense first, that I think guys have not been able to truly flourish and play with freedom that allows them to show what they showed in high school, where they're kind of confined a little bit. I've said it numerous times to you guys and on our station that I think this team plays tight. Oftentimes, especially in the half-court offense, because they're trying to not screw up, and then if they screw up, they get yanked, and you know that kind of stuff. So there's something that needs to improve in terms of chemistry between players and coach. That's why you're seeing them not get the most out of their players.
Now, Vince, in saying that, and in listening to Barnes say, "Well, we got to change the vibe of this team." Honestly, I don't know what that means, but does he – it sort of means, hey, listen, not just the players but the coaches as well. We need to change the vibe of what's going on, not just out on the court, but what's going on in practice and in meeting rooms.
Well, it's great to talk to you, D-Mace.
You too.
It's a pleasure. Appreciate it. So I don't know – to be honest with you, I don't know if Rick Barnes knows – what that means the meaning of vibe. I don't know if he sees it the way maybe some of us that have heard that see it. And he also said he has to see the tape first, which to me is a little bit strange, because I think this team has had issues for a while, like all of conference play. But I didn't need to see that Kentucky game to say this team is underachieving and they need to find a way to not play tight and play loose and to the best of their ability. So I don't know if that means practice schedule or just changing what how they talk treat their players or scout or what, but or maybe shaking up the lineup because he has called out his older players because his older players are not delivering for him. And they also don't have an accountability dog. They haven't had one since Schofield and Williams. So they don't have a player to help the coaching staff out. So that's another big issue as well. And you guys know how much that means being around teams. You need guys that can call their peers out and hold them accountable. And I don't think he has a voice like that on this team.
Well, when you mention some of the great teams, they always either have one or two guys that can say something or give constructive criticism without, you know, someone taking it, you know, taking offense or taking it personal. And it seems like this coaching staff doesn't have that because they mentioned leadership, but then he mentioned two guys on the bench, guys that really play. If you're going to be a championship team or a team that consistently win, you know, your leadership can't come from guys that rarely play. It has to be the guys that you went out and recruited, guys that are on the court with you day in and day out. Those should be the leaders on your team.
And it's something that he may need to start recruiting, looking for in recruiting, is those kind of personalities. That shooters, leaders, shooters, and athletic, bouncy big. They don't have so many times you see guys like Kumwa or Fulkerson, they just get blocked at the rim because they're so slow off the floor compared to some of the other guys that they're going up against. So there are some things that need to be addressed in terms of recruiting, but they got to figure out a way. I think Josiah Jordan James, he's the closest to having that kind of personality to where he can call some guys out. The thing is, he hasn't played his best basketball. So he's probably worried about him figuring out his game, or maybe is hesitant to call other guys out when he's not feeling like he's playing his best, although he did have a little bit better game offensively against Kentucky. So that part of it is also a big deal. But you know, Rick Barnes just talked about the schedule too, D-Mace, and yeah, they played a very tough schedule. They've played bad against weak competition at home in their two SEC home wins. And they've found a way to win, but it hasn't been pretty. So I'm not putting this on the schedule. They have not played well in a long time. And, you know, the rankings are still pretty good right now. But I would be concerned about this team, one, going very far in the NCAA tournament. But two, if it goes south, even making the NCAA tournament.
It is that interesting time of the year where you want to start seeing some progress, role definition, teams starting to get to their best game. Vince Ferrara is with us. So let's try again to try to find some context here, Vince. Kentucky's playing some pretty good ball, right? We've seen them. They came to Nashville and won very handily. Very impressive performance over Tennessee. How good is Kentucky?
Oh, when they play like that, Willie, they're beating anybody. Gonzaga, Baylor, I don't care. Now, they're not going to shoot that lights out very often because it's so rare. I think one other team has shot over like 65% from the field and 60% from three in a game this year. So it's that part of it is so rare. But the way Kentucky plays and how their ability to drive the lane. Ty Washington, great size. He's just a smart, mature player. You just see him playing with a different freedom than a Kennedy Chandler, although Kennedy Chandler is still Tennessee's best player. And then they got Wheeler back, and Wheeler was able to get steals and drive to the lane, and you know they forced Tennessee turnovers and all those kind of things. And then you got Oscar Tshiebwe, who's the best rebounder in the country. That's another thing that's kind of
yeah,
scary.
The rebounding is what jumps out to me for Kentucky. If you look at their ratings, my goodness, right. They control the glass on both ends.
They didn't dominate on the glass. Now, they did in the first half. I think Tennessee had five rebounds in the first half. That's because Kentucky was making all their shots, one. And two, you know, Tshiebwe had 12 rebounds, but it's not like he had – you know, a 20-rebound game or Kentucky was so dominant, they're typically even better than that on the glass. So there's even room for improvement for them. I think they have some more maturity than typical, you know, one and done type of teams. With the transfers, it's really, I think, worked out for Calipari. Kentucky and Auburn, to me, are the two best teams in this league.
Oh, so how do you look
and
at
guess who plays? I think Saturday.
Yeah,
Kentucky at Auburn, I think.
And look, that does not help Rick Barnes that Bruce Pearl is doing that at Auburn when there's still people in this fan base that want Bruce Pearl.
Mm. Well, let's talk about the next challenge here, because Tennessee comes to Nashville. Vanderbilt is clearly better. What we're trying to figure out is how much better. They still don't have the center, Liam Robbins, that they hope to have by this time. It's still going to be another week or two, at least, I guess, before he's in there. And then it's still very much an X factor, what he gives them. I do feel like he is what they need, another big in there that can do some things. But I've never seen the guy. I've never seen him play for Vanderbilt. He hasn't played a game yet. But despite that, Vanderbilt's 2-2. They're much better than they've been. What do you think of the matchup?
Well, I think obviously Tennessee needs to play much better to have any sort of shot. I think another factor from the Kentucky game is Rick Barnes had talked about Brandon Huntley Hatfield stepping up his dedication to the game and getting better. And so, but he didn't reward him with minutes until the end. And they asked him, well, why didn't you play him earlier? And they're like, well, we didn't want to ruin his confidence by, you know, being in some tough situations. And, I mean, he has the potential, although he makes tons of mistakes, he has the athleticism as a post to be able to, to do some things inside that can give you a different element. So I wonder if part of the vibe change that we were talking about might be some more minutes finally, maybe from the jump even for Brandon Huntley Hatfield, and maybe they see an opportunity there before Roberts is in there. And then Scott, how you defend Scottie Pippen Jr. is obviously huge. And, anytime you can make Kennedy Chandler work on the defensive end, I think it can help you a little bit on the other end. But Tennessee just has so many areas that they need to get better at. And they haven't won on the road. They're 0-3 on the road. Their best road game was their first SEC game loss to Alabama. So, that was without Chandler and Fulkerson. It's been downhill since then.
And what's interesting is Vanderbilt really has not played well at home. They've lost both of their conference games at home, including, to me, a loss that is going to hurt them down the road against South Carolina. So, and it's kind of a weird vibe right now. The students still aren't allowed, last I checked, to even be in the gym. So it's not made for the best atmosphere. They've got enough problems drawing anyway. But I think it's a very intriguing game tomorrow night for both teams.
I think Vanderbilt has to look at it as this is a wounded Tennessee team that they can beat. And, I think they'll be very motivated. It's always a weird atmosphere in there anyway. And then those 9 p.m. starts, or at least for Eastern time, never fun for the team from the Eastern time zone. So, I give Vandy a great chance to win that game. But, man, if Tennessee, you want to make fans even more upset, you lose to Vandy in anything outside of maybe baseball where they're so dominant. You put that on top of what happened in Kentucky, then people are going to be even more upset.
Yep. We'll see how it all plays out. Should be a good one tomorrow night. Good stuff as always. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal there in Knoxville. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Vince Sports. Good stuff from him, and we appreciate him moving around with us here on these Mondays. Mike Vrabel switching it up again, pivoting to go at 11 o'clock. So we had to move Teron to afterwards. So. Good stuff. I'm just telling you, the whole Rick Barnes thing, they better get this thing turned around. They got too much talent to be, beating Ole Miss in overtime with 50-something points, getting run out of the place in Lexington. They're just too talented. So
it amazes me, especially in college, when and more importantly in college basketball, is when, if a team's not doing well or they're going through a slump, The coach always said, well, we have to find some leaders. Well, you should have found that out a long time ago before you start going in this slump or whatever the case may be. And Vince was right. They're going to have to start recruiting people or men, young men that show that leadership quality while in the high school. And I know it's hard, but you have some that do. They may not be your five-star guys. They may be your three-star guys or like in Willie's, Willie's situation, your two-star guys. But they're guys that can help you come in, that guys that can come in, play, but also be leaders for you.
Let me talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. When we come back, I think Elijah's going to have some NFL zingers from Wild Card Weekend.
That's oh, we
not,
got them.
Not over. So, Derek, this is going to be a new segment for you since the last time mm-hmm. you're with us, where Elijah is going to ask us some questions and we're going to answer them. It's not very hard.
Not at all.
Yeah, we'll make this work. But I do want to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. They're my friends because they've been helping me for years, and they can help you. They've been helping me become healthier and happier. They've improved my quality of life, and I hope you would want that too. If maybe you would like to get rid of some unwanted pounds, maybe it'd be, you know, right after the holidays you've tacked on some unwanted pounds, or as you know, being adults, typically you're going to have that patch at some point where you're like, you know, I sure would like to shed some weight. Well, weight loss management's important to them. They've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction. Rejuvenation, your age is important. Not your age. Your appearance is important, and it gets tougher as we age. We know that, right? Things start happening to the body. Things start happening to the face. You're like, where did these bags come from underneath my eyes? Something I struggle with. Well, they can sit down and talk to you about PRP, hair removal, Botox. They do it all in that department. And finally, hormone therapy. Maybe you've been feeling a little bit off lately. Maybe you haven't had the same drive. You haven't had the same energy or experience some mood swings. Well, get your levels checked. I don't know if you know this, but they tend to dip as we get older. And when they dip, that can affect you in one or all of those areas. Their staff will be more than happy to discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They have a lot of things they do under one roof there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. It's 283-7291. Thanks, Coach Stack. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. Back here on the DDC. Hey, Preds fans, don't forget Smashville Live here on these airwaves Wednesday nights during the 6 o'clock hour. Roman Yossi and Mikhail Granlund did the last one. Who will be doing this one? Who will be the special guest? Make sure you tune in. Smashville Live every Wednesday during the 6 o'clock hour, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. And then don't forget Penalty Box Radio following that during the 7 o'clock hour, where we say a hearty congrats to Justin Bradford, who got married yesterday. He said on Twitter, hey, does anybody have any advice? I said, yes, say I do. So I thought that was pretty solid advice.
The best advice you could have given him.
Yeah, he responded simple and to the point. Good stuff. I was like, yeah. Thought that worked. That always helps when you say I do.
Yeah, that's the start of whatever.
It's the start of whatever.
Hey, whatever it's going
to
be.
Good luck to you, pal. It's the start of whatever you just signed up for.
No, marriage is beautiful, people. I'm just kidding.
I hope Justin wasn't listening to this. Okay, good luck to you, whatever you signed up for. Justin's like, what just happened?
What did I get myself into?
And actually, oh, I brought that up on Friday for You Just Made the List because I was like, can the league just put out the makeup dates for these, you know, the schedule? Because he did tell me he was getting married on Sunday last week at a Predators home. I think it was Thursday's home game. Mm-hmm. And he said, but we're trying to schedule, you know, our honeymoon during that 3 week, you know, break, which now isn't going to be a break. And, you know, he's kind of waiting to see when the Brets are going to play. So, you know, a lot of us want to know. So
it's coming out. It's coming out soon.
Okay. Well, yeah, I know. Soon. Very like, soon. I'd like that. Today. How about today?
Very soon.
Okay. All right. This is where we're going to turn things over to Elijah Campbell at our Hillside Medical Game Studios. And he's going to ask us questions in the NFL, Derek, and we're going to answer them.
It is a Monday staple on the show. Wildcard weekend version of the NFL. Zingers, we'll go ahead and start off with it being year two of Super Wildcard Weekend, where seven seeds are introduced to play two seeds, and both of those games were snoozers. Chiefs beat the life out of the Steelers. The Buccaneers beat the life out of the Eagles. So my question to you fellas is this. What do we think of these 7-2 matchups, and is the addition of an extra wild card team unnecessary?
Revisiting an old topic. All right. I like it.
I warned this. I warned of this before they went to this and they were speculating. I was like, there's going to be years where there's some teams that probably shouldn't be in the playoffs, make the playoffs. And you can circle the Eagles and the Washington football team from last year as great examples. They didn't bring much to the table. And I just, and the Steelers, I think, also arguably would be in that category. I think it's an excellent thing to bring up. They're never going back because there's that extra game, and we love watching games. And they've gone down this road. The thing that I like about it, though, I do like that it really puts an emphasis on the one team that gets a bye and earns the bye. Only one in each conference gets that. I do find that pretty compelling, to fight to try to get that bye. Because not only one team gets it.
D-Mace, you have history on this show, and that question is tailor-made for Mr. Don't Change Anything, Donick. Like, you exactly. knew he was going to be like, see, I told you, don't ever change. Don't ever change anything.
Oh, man.
This is what you get.
You know,
wanted it. This is what you get.
I would like to see them go to just add another team and nobody gets a bye. Do it like, ooh. You know, basketball, baseball. Just add another team. Nobody gets a bye and you just roll.
Oh, my.
So you're okay if a team makes it and they're 7-10?
Yeah, I'm over. It's not going to be every year, because there were years in the NFL in the old playoff structure where it was only six teams, where two teams that won 10 games, they got left out of the playoffs. So I don't think every year will be the way it was this year. But to me, I think they should just go ahead and add an extra game and to where there's nobody getting any buys.
Yeah, I think what just happened was, by the way, poker played on the show. Willie came in strong with a huge bet, and then D-Mace, like, trumps the bet and comes in all in. I mean, that was, hey, I'll see your no change, and let's add another team. I'm going to stick here in the middle and just say I think everything is fine. Everybody remain calm. Yes, Elijah was right. They were snooze. I mean, the Steelers scored off the T.J. Watt touchdown, and that was it. Game over, 7-0 Steelers, and then if you went to the bathroom, it was 42-7 Kansas City. So, yeah, it and Tampa, like, don't look at that score. If you didn't watch the game, you're like, 31-15, okay, that's not bad. Yeah, it was not 31-15 game. That was – Tampa totally took their foot off the gas. That game was never a game. Wasn't it 31-0? Before they finally, yeah,
absolutely.
It was 30. I knew it was 24-0. I didn't remember if it got to 31-0 before.
Oh, it did.
Philadelphia, you know, tacked on a couple late touchdowns, but that game was a snoozer too. I say just hang in there. They won't all be snoozers. And don't forget this: if the Colts would have done their job, Willie's Colts, are you guaranteeing that Colts Chiefs would have been a snoozer? If the Chargers would have done their job. Justin Herbert, all the praise he's got in the first 2 years, but so far he hasn't led that team to the playoffs. Could you guarantee Chargers Chiefs would have been a blowout? I say they would have been probably different games if those teams would have figured out a way to win their last game and get in. I get it. They didn't. Instead, the Steelers got in. And Pittsburgh, let's be honest, applaud them for having, you know, a good season, getting into the playoffs. But nobody other than diehard, crazy, fanatical Steelers fans thought they were going to win that game. Or it was even going to be close. So I say just remain calm. Next year will be different.
Maybe next year, for the same question, we'll say, why don't every team get into the playoffs? And imagine the money you can get then.
Well, I can guarantee you this, Willie will be charting. And so if sevens get blown out again next year, he will remind us that sevens, this is a snooze fest. This was a mistake, National Football League. He'll remind us. But I'm telling you, just hang in there. The sevens will be more competitive next year.
All right. Number two. The Buffalo Bills, in a rematch of a snooze fest Monday Night Football game from earlier this year, pitched a perfect game against the Patriots. Every single drive, with the exception of the kneel downs at the end, resulting in touchdowns against a really good Patriots defense. So how dangerous is this Buffalo Bills offense moving forward, and should the AFC be put on notice because of what they did to New England?
Yes, they should be put on notice, but I think the NFL was on notice already. The problem that I have with the Buffalo Bills is that they still haven't proven they can run the football consistently. And their defense, as good as they are, they do give up points when you think they shouldn't. The NFL should be on notice, but they already were. But I just don't trust the Buffalo Bills. I don't. And sorry, you know, Bill Mafia, I just don't trust them.
Well, in fairness, I think what you said about the Bills' rushing attack, is 100% spot on. But I'll counter with, is Kansas City a good running team?
Nah, but they stick to the run. They will stick to it.
The Steelers can run. Their run defense is pretty shaky, but that's a fair question.
I mean, I know Edwards-Hilaire wasn't in there.
McKinnon?
He's really good
yesterday. Right. Yeah.
It's all right. I'm just saying.
Edwards-Hilaire back next week.
Yeah, we'll see. He's a guy who's always hurt. Always hurt. We'll see. I think it's – Willie knows, because we did our top 10 for most of the season, Willie knows that I've been calling Buffalo paper champions all year, and – it may end up, we weren't paper champions, but I need to see them beat Kansas City. And I get it. They already beat Kansas City in the regular season. They mopped them early in the year. But now I want to see them do it in the playoffs. I want to see them beat Kansas City again, and then they have proved me wrong because I've called them paper champions all year.
And that game was a long time ago. And the Chiefs, I think they would all tell you that they're a different team than they were when the Bills whipped them, and that was during a time when the Bills were riding an early wave, and then they went through the depths, kind of like the Chiefs did at different times, and they've come back out of it. I do think most people will tell you statistically that the Bills are right there on par with the Chiefs. That had to feel good for them to crush a nemesis that's just been rubbing their noses in the dirt for about 20 years now. I mean, they just have never been able to beat the Patriots really when it counts, and they've beaten them twice now. That's a huge confidence boost for them. And Josh Allen is going to be a handful. That game is one to circle next week. I guess it's Sunday. Let's hope we're all in a good mood when we're watching that game and we're seeing who's going to be playing the Titans on the following weekend. But, man, that game is going to be a barn burner, I think.
That's a good point. If the Titans take care of business on Saturday, what will the local ratings be for that game on Sunday?
Huge. Woo. Huge.
Elijah.
All right. Number three, Dak Prescott ran a QB draw almost as the time expired. And what I think we can all agree on all fronts, it's a pretty inexcusable way to end that game. So my question to you guys is, who are you laying more of the blame on, Kellen Moore / Mike McCarthy, because they had to co-sign on it? No matter who called the play, someone's co-signing on it. Or Dak Prescott for needing to know how much damn time is on the clock before you finally go down and slide?
Hmm.
C, all the above.
Do we think they called that play? Was that a design?
Yes, they called that play.
Absolutely.
That was a design. Willie, what were you watching?
See, I don't
Willie, he took
that.
One step
he
and
one
then
step
ran
back and took off.
Exactly.
Well, see, that's why I'm leaning a little bit towards Moore has got to take some of the blame there, right? I mean, you can't call that. I mean, I was thinking to myself, man, great call by Kellen Moore when they ran that little catch in reverse, the little hook and ladder around. That was great. I mean, that was a page that was the flashback to the Boise State days. They did a great, efficient job to get down there. But you just cannot call that play there. No way.
I blame Jerry Jones. For the first time, he did not come down and say anything. This is when he should have stuck his nose in, you know, the business of the coaches. That last play. But no, I mean, if you're going to call a play like that, you got to make sure everyone is on the board and everyone knows get the ball to the ref no matter what.
And by the way, he's got a direct elevator from his box straight to the field level. I know, I've been in his box.
Yeah, well.
There's an elevator right behind him, goes straight to the field.
I do think that's a great point, though. If he slides, gets up, and goes and hands the ball there, do they get the ball spiked? Or should he have – or the other mistake, too, I was thinking, if he slides 3 or 4 yards before, like two strides earlier, and has an extra second. I mean, he literally was about a half second late of as it all happened. He still almost spiked it in time. It was like zero spike. So if he just does one of those two things correctly, then it's probably not the worst play call in the world.
But let's give Dak a break. He's a rookie. It's his first time in the playoffs. He didn't know that you hand the ball to the ref. He thought he could hand it to his center and snap it. So he's a rookie.
Yeah.
Rookie mistake. I mean, come on. By the way, he didn't run too far because he would have been able to pull this off with a second to go. He would have been able to do another play if all he would have done was just sit there and wait for the official and hand in the ball rather than plop it down to his center and try to think he was going to snap it.
But the logic, though, okay, they're down there. They have if they run two shots to the end zone, they have two shots. Running that play only gives you one shot. You are a little closer, but you still only get one shot. Why not take two shots? Tony Dungy said it on NBC. He goes, there's just too many things that could go wrong when you decide to run that play. Bad play call and bad execution.
All right. Number four, the Cincinnati Bengals won their first playoff game since the invention of the text message. Yes, it has been that long. So my question to you guys is, which bottom feeder, sorry franchise in the NFL will be next to break their Bengals-esque playoff streak?
So, D-Mace, did you have a car phone, like literally a car phone in 91?
Yes, I did. Literal car phone.
It was attached to the center console.
In 91?
No, I didn't have that until after
I was going to say, man,
graduated.
If you had that in 91, you got to talk about the people that recruited you, man. What they
hey, the statute of limitation is over with, so I can talk about it all. No, I'm just playing.
Oh, that's hilarious. Like 1991. I don't even know. I didn't even have a pager then. I didn't have a beeper in 91.
Mm-mm-mm. Oh, well.
I mean, I had nothing of the sort.
Yeah, nothing of the sort. That's how long it's been for the Bengals.
Well, the next team, I think, I want to say the Lions so bad because and I think I am going to
don't
say
do
the
it.
Lions.
Don't do
no,
it.
I'm
don't
going
do
to
it.
Say
you
the
don't
Lions.
Want to do this.
Because if you look at the Lions.
Do you want to do this on your first day
yes,
back?
Yes, I
do. You
do.
Really want to say the Lions?
Yes, yes. I want to say the Lions.
At
yes.
least save that for day two.
No.
Day one, you're ready to go Lions?
Got to go with the home team, okay? Because if you look at their games, they were not losing games by 10, 14, 20. They were losing close games against really good opponents. So to me, this should be the team. It should be. I'm not saying it will be. I thought about the Jaguars, but they're just it's a cluster down there. But the Detroit Lions, I think, will be the Cincinnati Bengals of next year. I'm giving them next year.
Mark the tape, Elijah. Mark it. D-Mace is back at it. He's officially back in the saddle.
We'll add him to the Man Campbell hype train.
Holy moly. Check what's in the thermos, Willie. Check his thermos. What in the hell just happened?
Oh, man.
You just said the Lions are going to be next year's Cincinnati Bengals?
I think so, man. If you watch the Lions.
Jared Goff is their quarterback.
It doesn't matter. Well, it does matter, but it doesn't matter, okay?
What?
It does matter, but it doesn't matter.
Cincinnati's got Joe Burrow.
I understand that, but if you look at – I'm not saying they're going to, you know, win 15 games or 17 games. What is it now? 18 games or 17 games now.
17.
I'm not saying they're going to do that, but I do believe this is a team that was at the bottom of the heap, bottom of the pile. They will be a playoff team next year.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's end on a bang right there. Let's just go on and drop the mic with NFL zingers. That may have been the most crazy NFL zingers we did all year. Wow. Okay. We'll come back and have fun with this one today. But first, Willie, you're going to tell everybody about Loan Pronto.
All right. Let's get to the word about Loan Pronto. 2022, those interest rates are still in your favor. So it's a great advantageous position to be in if you're looking to refinance your house. Get that number down in terms of your monthly payment through the folks at Loan Pronto. And Loan Pronto loves to take it one step further and talk to those that are looking to get some cash out. If you're looking for ways to reinvest in your home, we know the home values right now in our city are outstanding. So you can add to that with a new kitchen, bathroom, pool, whatever you have dreamed up. You've got the ability to take cash out of your home's equity, and within about a two-week period, that's usually the time it takes, right around there. The process is very easy through Loan Pronto's no-cost refi. You can get that cash, get a check in your hand, and then be on your way to financial freedom in 2022, whether it's to re-up on your own home with a home renovation project, or just get cash out to pay some bills, credit card bills, get rid of PMI charges, consolidate other loans, anything you're thinking. They have that ability to put that equity in your home to work towards you and your financial freedom. You can do it now, and you can even skip your two next house payments. So call Loan Pronto now, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780. Or go online at loanpronto.com. Tell them you heard the ad right here on 102.5 The Game. That's 615-499-5780 or loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply.
Almost, Jim. We're not done just yet. In fact, Anthony is on our phone line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I have to weigh in on this one because I don't agree with many of the governing bodies, but the NFL got it exactly right this time. By giving the number one seed a bye, you give a reward that's worth something, and it makes the last week of the season must-see TV, and the second team gets to play a team that probably shouldn't be in it, which should be kind of a bye. It's all right. I think they shouldn't mess with it. I think now is perfect. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Mm. Thanks for the call. Mm.
Okay.
By the way, it is hard to argue about the drama at the end of the regular season. It created drama.
Yes.
Now, will we get that every year? I don't know, but it happened this year.
Yeah, it did. We had a bunch of teams that were still on the bubble, and you know, a few that we thought were going to make it, i.e., the Indianapolis Colts, didn't. Or the Chargers, they didn't. So the NFL is always going to find a way to cause drama. They're just going to do it because they know drama draws eyes. So they're going to find a way.
Yep.
That's what was so weird about this past weekend. You're kind of looking around going, man, I'm watching all these football. Where is the drama? Where is that excitement that we had the week before? Did not play out that way. Maybe we'll get some tonight.
It did not. Anything John Hines say today about maybe the return of Philip Forsberg or Matias Ekholm or Dante Fabro? Anything from the head coach today?
No way Matias Ekholm is coming back in. Fabro did not return to the game. Took a hard hit. It was a physical game in Boston. 46-45 were the hits. That was really something. And Boston is a tough, tough team. I thought Nashville, the best part of that game was, A, they came back, but, B, they also stood toe-to-toe, and they looked like themselves. They were able to shrug off that performance. I think, you know, it's not official. You wait the last test results, all that stuff. I'm not in on all the details, but I feel like Forsberg should be back in there tonight. I think they were hoping he might be ready for Saturday's game.
Yeah.
I think there's a shot he's in there. Fabro, I don't know. That was a hard hit. He didn't look good.
It was a weird hit. It was a weird hit.
Hard shoulder-to-shoulder hit.
Is that what it was, shoulder-to-shoulder? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't really tell. I know he kind of like slid down and was like grabbing his leg, right? Not his leg. I don't know. It was kind of weird. Okay, well, you're right. I guess Ekholm tested positive Saturday morning, so obviously he's not
coming back. But so the prospects of not having Fabro and Ekholm, that's a tall order against the Blues, and the Blues get a lot of guys back. They get key guys. These are guys they've been missing that they get back tonight. Tarasenko, Braden Schenn, Colton Parayko, David Perron, four key guys all coming back tonight. So this is a tough one.
And they've been very, very good at home this year.
Big time.
D-Mace, how did it feel back in the saddle? I mean, 4 hours. How did it feel?
Man, feel like I never left, man.
I know. You crushed it. Good job. Although the Lions thing at the end got a little bit. The back rear wheel kind of shook a little bit. I think we need to get an alignment for tomorrow.
I'm holding on to that, okay? I'm holding on to the Lions.
In all seriousness, welcome back.
Thank you.
D-Mace will be back with us tomorrow on the program. We'll be at Patron Platinum Club at Bridgestone Arena because the Predators have a back-to-back situation tonight in St. Louis and back at home tomorrow. That will do it for our show today. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Continue to be safe. And indeed, we want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Stay tuned. Stillman & Company is next.